40. Greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
These little town blues. Up to you, New York, New York, New York.
New York is where more than 50,000 runners will test their speed and endurance on Sunday in the city's annual marathon. The race will take place 5 days after a terrorist attack in New York killed 8 people and injured 11 others. Race officials say heightened security measures will be implemented. The race director of the New York City Marathon is Peter Chacha.
We work very closely with the city, the state, and federal agencies all year long on this. So I think it's nothing to worry about. They're the best at what they do here in New York. It's going to be a celebration of the spirit of humanity here in New York.
One runner who definitely will be celebrated in New York on Sunday is the 2009 champion, 42-year-old Meb Keflezighi. Meb says this will be his last marathon, and he'll be cheered by thousands of spectators along the course and about 70 friends and relatives. But with the terrorist attack on Tuesday, security is on people's minds. Keflezighi was asked if he's worried about the security situation in New York.
He can't stop, you know, from lunatic like that. But at the same time, we just hope that prayers and thoughts go to those victims that are affected. But I'm very optimistic about Sunday.
Meb Keflezighi's optimistic nature has helped make him one of the greatest American long-distance runners in history. Born in Eritrea, Meb arrived in the United States with his family 30 years ago in 1987, and he became a U.S. citizen 11 years later in 1998. In Meb's words, and I quote, "The land of opportunity lies in the United States, and Meb has made the most of his opportunities." Meb earned a track scholarship at the University of California at Los Angeles, better known as UCLA. UCLA, coincidentally, is the alma mater of my VOA colleague, Shaka Sali, the host of our Straight Talk Africa program. After graduating from UCLA in 1998, the same year he became a U.S. citizen, Meb Keflezighi won a silver medal in the marathon at the 2004 Olympics in Athens. He then won the 2009 New York City Marathon title, as well as the 2014 Boston Marathon title. Meb is the only man in history to win an Olympic medal as well as the New York and Boston marathons. And Meb Keflezighi is looking forward to running in New York again on Sunday.
I'm just honored to be in this position, and I'm excited for Sunday. Give it my best, run to win, and but my goal is to top three, top 10, and then if I can't get that, obviously finish, but make it an exciting one.
And speaking of excitement, I think some of the slower runners on Sunday in New York will be excited after they cross the finish line. Meb Keflezighi is planning to return to Central Park after he finishes and then present some of the last runners with their finishers' medals. Meb has been described as a true ambassador in the marathon world, and he gets a Sunnyside of Sports salute.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. All right, Roy. Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in His care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. World football's governing body, FIFA, has presented its Diversity Award 2017 to the U.S.-based organization Soccer Without Borders. FIFA's first female secretary general is Fatma Samora, who is from Senegal.
I think this diversity award gives us an extraordinary platform for FIFA to shed lights on NGOs and institutions that work day in and day out in order to fight discrimination and promote simply human rights. We are here as a world governing body to promote diversity, but to promote it in a society where really it's a daily fight.
Meanwhile, a lifelong football player, Ben Guicciardi, is the founder of Soccer Without Borders.
Soccer Without Borders works in the United States to help support refugee and immigrant youth to integrate into their new communities, using soccer as a way to bring people together. And then we also support the soccer part of the program with academic support, civic engagement, team building, and cultural exchange activities, really with a goal towards supporting the whole person to make sure that young people are successful in school and on the field. You know, we're constantly trying to refine what we do to have the biggest impact possible for the young people that we work with, to really make sure that we're successful with our goals, which is not really about having them play soccer. It's much more about seeing them graduate from high school, go on to continue studying or working and becoming productive members of the community and having the lives that they want. So soccer is really not the end for us. It's much more of a means.
That's Ben Guicciardi, the founder of Soccer Without Borders, the winner of FIFA's Diversity Award 2017. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson says he'll kick off with a big African club football match on Saturday in Morocco. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the CAF Champions League Cup final, as both Al Ahly and Wydad Casablanca's coaches are determined to win the second leg of the African Champions League final on Saturday in Morocco. The Egyptian giants, who failed to benefit from the home advantage and held to a 1-1 draw last weekend, need to score away at the Mohamed V Stadium in Casablanca on Saturday to lift their favorite trophy for the first time since 2013. Staying with CAF matters, Accra, Ghana will host the 2017 CAF Awards on Thursday, 4th of January 2018 at a yet-to-be-named venue. Now to the Russia 2018 World Cup qualifiers. Egypt Mohamed Salah will not be part of Egypt's final World Cup qualifier against Ghana on November the 12th. Egypt coach Hector Cooper has been criticized for over-relying on Mohamed Salah. Uganda has begun preparations for the last group game of the 2018 World Cup qualifier against Congo-Brazzaville. Uganda Cranes interim head coach Moses Basena is relishing what could be his last days as coach of the side, but believes his record since he took over the team can earn him the job on a permanent basis.
That is upon the appointing authorities, upon FUFA, to decide on which way to take. What I must tell you is that I'm one of the applicants. And that's it.
Elsewhere, when South Africa meets Senegal in a replay of one of the qualifying matches for the 2018 Russia World Cup, a bulk of the players will come from two domestic clubs, Mamelodi Sundowns and SuperSports United. And for coach Stuart Baxter, having domestic players feature for the national team is key to developing football on the continent.
This game against Senegal will give those five SuperSport players massive experience. The game in the final will give our national players massive experience. And it's a win-win situation. But what we've had for far too long is that their players and our players, you know, we get them, and if you don't give them us, you're not patriotic. And that, I think if we've got that relationship that we are partners in this, then we can give them the add-on experience to help them. And that maybe is the difference between semi-final and final.
And now to rugby news, and we stay in South Africa, where South Africa rugby national team coach Alistair Kotze believes he has a settled squad that will be able to overcome the threats posed by Ireland, France, Italy and Wales when South African national rugby team, the Springbok, begins its tour of Europe.
The conditioning, I'm so pleased with. Last year, this time, very same field, only two players could pass a fitness test. This time around, a whole squad of players are really in good condition and in peak shape.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Hi, I'm Kofi Apari, defender for DC United. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Oh, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home.
Nana
classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA newsfeeds. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOAsunnySports. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Happy Friday, Andrew.
Happy Friday to you as well, Sonny. Good to be here.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Friday?
Well, of course, earlier this week, the big story was that the Houston Astros won their first Major League Baseball World Series title in team history. And today they celebrate. The celebration actually began with their flight back from Los Angeles, the Astros getting a water cannon salute as their plane landed in Houston, which was kind of a cool sight. I saw a video of that on social media. And then today is the big victory parade. Schools in Houston, Texas are closed to celebrate, and for good reason, because it's estimated that about 500,000 people will pack the parade route. It's roughly one quarter of Houston's population, so quite a large crowd out there to see. They've been waiting 55 years that the team has been in existence for this moment, and so a lot of fans are not going to miss that. The parade kicks off later today, and I expect that when it does, we'll see a lot of social media posts about people holding signs along the parade route, people dressed up, the super fans, as we call them, of all kinds, who will be out there to cheer on their team.
In terms of being dressed up, Andrew, I was scanning my Facebook feed and I came across a photo of Chris Paul, the Houston Rockets star guard, and he was dressed up in a Houston Astros jersey. And he was saying, good job, great job, actually, to the Houston Astros. So sort of some cross-collaboration among the sports stars in Houston.
Yeah, a lot of love from the other Houston teams. J.J. Watt, of course, for the Houston Texans. He raised all that money for the hurricane relief. He was tweeting just about with every out that was happening in the World Series. He said three outs to go, you know, one out, and he was very excited. So he was tweeting and congratulating his fellow Houston athletes. But a lot of love from all of the sports stars in the city of Houston.
Any other World Series topics that are trending, Andrew?
Yes, well, the parade kicks off today, but there is one player who will be absent from that victory parade. It is pitcher Justin Verlander, but he's got a good excuse. He started the week by winning his first World Series after pitching in the major leagues for 12 years. And, Sonny, he ends the week getting married to his fiance, model and actress Kate Upton. They are off to Italy to get married this weekend. So that's why he won't be at the parade. He's off getting married. Fans are saying that he's having the best week ever. Of course, we talked about Carlos Correa getting engaged to his girlfriend on the field there in Los Angeles right after winning the World Series. So fans are joking that after Justin Verlander saw Carlos Correa propose on the field, he thought, I have to one-up that. So he's not just getting engaged, he's getting married. So many congratulations to Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. Kate Upton linked to the sports world. She has appeared multiple times in Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue.
That's right.
So well-known in the sports world. So congratulations to them.
Congratulations to Kate and Justin. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, after some high-profile instances at the ESPN Sports Network here in the U.S. where personalities were suspended for expressing political views on social media, ESPN is out with some new rules governing how its reporters can and cannot use social networks. So the new rules basically say that reporters should only post about social issues if they relate to sports, like the NFL protests, that they should not have any obvious political statements. However, they should try to maintain balance in what they're reporting. But there's one statement in particular that's attracting a lot of attention, and I want to read it here. It says, "Do not break news on social platforms. We want to serve fans in the social sphere, but the first priority to ESPN news and information efforts, not social media. Public news can be distributed without vetting. However, sourced or proprietary news must be vetted by the news desk." So basically, ESPN saying that don't use social media, use our website, use our television platforms to break news. Don't use Twitter, Facebook, or any other social networks. Now, many reporters at ESPN use social networks to break news. In fact, that's one of the reasons why many fans follow these personalities on social media. So there's a lot of questions about whether journalists will comply with this rule, even if it impacts their reporting. And there's a lot of questions about if it will damage their brand as a leader in sports news. If they're not breaking the news instantaneously through a platform like Twitter and they're waiting to get it up on television, are they going to have as many followers? So lots of fans wondering about that. And, you know, social media policies in sports are nothing new. Many teams have these policies. It's nothing new for a news organization to have these policies. But it's interesting that they say don't use social media to get news out there, because oftentimes it is the fastest way to communicate with fans.
Andrew, do you think this policy change is linked at all with subscriptions? ESPN has been dropping in the television ratings. Could it be linked to that somehow?
It could be. They, you know, they say in the statement that the first priority is to ESPN news and information efforts. So I think that does play into it. People are going to social networks to get this news. They want them to come to ESPN.com and their television networks.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, sometimes politics and sports mix, which I think is part of the reason for that ESPN policy, especially with activism like the national anthem protests in the NFL. But it's probably pretty rare for sports to mix with legislation and bills being passed in the House of Representatives, especially with a tax proposal. But that's exactly what happened yesterday, because the Republican Party released their tax plan on Capitol Hill. And as people read through the talking points, Sonny, they found this line. It says, "Our legislation will ensure that much-needed tax relief goes to the local job creators it's designed to help by distinguishing between the individual wage income of NBA All-Star Stephen Curry and the pass-through business income of Steve's Bike Shop." So fans are very confused by this, saying, why is Steph Curry appearing in the Republican tax plan? There's some question. They compare Steph Curry to Steve's Bike Shop. Some people are speculating whoever wrote this reference thinks that his name is Stephen Curry, not Stephen Curry. So there's a little bit of jousting and joking about that. Meanwhile, Curry's coach, Steve Kerr, said he was kind of taken aback. He said it was kind of weird, but he saw Steph Curry in there. Curry's response, though, on social media, he said, "I wonder if Steve's Bike Shop is hiring." So a little bit of a joke there from Steph Curry on social media.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Sonny. You too.
And that wraps up the November 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Vasco Valaric. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. and its international allies and partners are taking new steps to ensure that President Donald Trump's vision for a world that is secure against terrorist threats is realized, said U.S. Coordinator for Counterterrorism Nathan Sales in a recent interview. One of those steps is the recent endorsement with partners of the Global Counterterrorism Forum of the Anatolia Memorandum on the Protection of Soft Targets.
The Anatolia memo contains a number of practices for governments and private sector entities to use together in cooperation to protect places to which the public is invited. Stadiums, restaurants, parks, sidewalks, against terrorist threats. This is an increasing trend that we're seeing overseas. We're seeing it here at home. And so it's important for us all to work together to secure our public spaces against terrorist attacks.
The United States, in partnership with Morocco, also recently announced the launch of a new initiative to address the growing threat posed by homegrown terrorists. We've seen in the past 3 years a number of foreign terrorist fighters who have traveled to Iraq and Syria to fight with ISIS, some of whom have come home and perpetrated deadly terrorist attacks, said Ambassador Sales. But that's not the only threat we face.
We also have to be mindful of people who are inspired by ISIS or inspired by Al-Qaeda. They may not have a membership card, they may not have any battlefield experience, but it doesn't take much more than simply renting a truck and driving it into a crowd. So the threat of homegrown terrorism, people without any operational ties, is a very serious problem. It's a threat that's on the rise, and it's one that we're going to be focusing on.
The United States and Global Counterterrorism Forum partners are also focusing on strengthening criminal justice and other rule of law institutions that confront terrorism.
Counterterrorism is not just for soldiers. It's not just for spies. It's also for cops. And so part of what we've done here in the United States is create capabilities for state law enforcement officers and federal law enforcement officers alike to partner together to bring cases, to bring criminal charges in cases where that's warranted.
We're doing the same sort of thing, said Ambassador Sales, standing up these capabilities with partners around the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.